Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, our next guest, Jean Blake, is the CEO of the Parkinson Society of British Columbia. Jean, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dave. Really appreciate the opportunity.
So, tell us a little bit about what Parkinson's disease is.
Sure. Well, it is the second most common neurodegenerative disease after Alzheimer's disease, and it's caused by a loss of dopamine in the area of the brain called the substantia nigra. And all that really means is that dopamine is the neurotransmitter that goes from our brain to our rest of our body and tells us to move. So if you're not getting any messages to move, you can imagine that it starts impacting your abilities, even just to do some simple activities of daily living, but certainly in terms of eventually being able to walk and so on.
How is dopamine released by the body? Like, what happens in that process, typically, in a healthy person?
So in a healthy person, we have it's at the top of the brainstem, a section of the brain called the substantia nigra, and these cells produce dopamine and really just help us to move. And when we don't have that, of course, you start getting the symptoms of Parkinson's disease.
Mm. And what are those symptoms?
Most common, what people will see is a tremor, usually on just one side of the body, in the arm or the leg, and usually just when they're at rest. And that's about 70%, but it's also that rigidity, the stiffness of the muscles that makes it more difficult to move or slows movement down, including things like walking and writing, and also balance and postural issues. I think those are the most common things. They're often called motor symptoms. There are as well non-motor symptoms, and there's quite a long list of those.
And who gets Parkinson's typically?
Well, it's unfortunately aging is still the number one risk factor, and so people are, the average age is usually about age 60, mm-hmm. but we are also seeing, unfortunately, an increase in people under the age of 50, about 20% now, some studies say, of individuals with Parkinson's are developing symptoms before the age of 50.
How long has been, you know, how long has Parkinson's been around? Has it been one of those diseases that has kind of crept up on us, or is it something that, you know, if you look back in the 1600s or 1500s, that there's documentation of it?
Well, it's been around. It's been documented for probably well over 100 years now. So we've gotten our name. Parkinson's actually from the researcher who first described it. So it's been around for a long time, and we're fortunate in that there has been a replacement for dopamine, a chemical called levodopa, and we've had that around for about 50 years now. So there is a medication that can help. It is, unfortunately, a progressive neurodegenerative disease, so that just means more of the dopamine-producing cells die as the disease progresses. And so the dopamine can start to lose its effectiveness as more and more is required.
And does Parkinson's affect more women than men, or, you know, what is the statistics on that?
There's not a big difference, but it is slightly more men than women that get affected by Parkinson's disease.
Mm. And are there any types of profiles that can say, you know what, if you've done these kind of, you know, things when you're earlier or under this kinds of stress, that you know you're going to be more susceptible to having Parkinson's?
Well, there is evidence now that there are environmental factors that are also causative of Parkinson's disease. We think probably it's a combination of having a genetic predisposition and then being exposed to the wrong chemicals. So, for example, we know that if you're from an agricultural community where you're reliant on groundwater for your drinking water, that the prevalence is higher. So it's likely connected to pesticides for in production of crops.
Mm. So that would be my next question. Is there any parts of Canada, because this show goes across Canada, or you know, are there any areas where you're seeing more of it than others? Is it more prevalent in the prairie provinces?
We don't have good statistics in Canada. In the U.S., they are seeing a higher prevalence in the Midwest provinces, states, and that's, as I say, there's increasing evidence that it's likely connected to agricultural pesticides. But we don't. We're lucky in BC in a way. We've got a fairly robust database that the Ministry of Health maintains. That we don't have the same system across Canada, unfortunately.
Is there any nutritional factors that either slow down the progress of Parkinson's or speed it up?
Not that we're aware of. We generally say a good, healthy eating is very important for people with Parkinson's. High in the bright green and orange and so on, vegetables and fruits that are good for all of us, and low fat, low sugar, low salt, all the healthy eating things that are good for cardiovascular are very good for people with Parkinson's as well.
Now, I see, Jean, that you used to work for the Alzheimer's Society as well. What is the relationship between Alzheimer's and Parkinson's?
Well, there's not really a relationship between the two, other than unfortunately some folks may develop both of them. There is both diseases have something called a Lewy body factor, which we see as a part of the neuro degeneration in both diseases. And you can develop a Parkinson's disease dementia, which is somewhat similar, but also somewhat different than Alzheimer's.
Gina, I'm just wondering, you know, what kind of support is there available for somebody that gets Parkinson's?
Well, we're very lucky in that we've got a strong network of volunteer-led support groups across British Columbia. We've got 50 support groups, and there's a very strong one in Prince George itself. So those groups meet usually on a monthly basis, and they're peer support. So folks that have had the disease can share some of the things that they've been doing to deal with it, and care partners usually attend as well. And then the society has a very robust website with lots of educational materials and information. We also have a 1-800 information and referral line that you can call no matter where you are in British Columbia. And our staff are pretty good at giving answers right away, but if they don't know an answer, they will research it and they will get back to you. We run education programs, and we're just recently actually in Prince George at the end of May to do an educational session, and we brought in a movement disorder specialist to talk about Parkinson's disease, some of the ways to manage it and some of the latest research. And she also talked about dealing with sleep and fatigue, which is a really big issue for people with Parkinson's to deal with. We run a program called Communication and Swallow. Unfortunately, the muscles in the throat, chest, diaphragm can all be affected by Parkinson's disease as well. So this program really helps people to, it gives them some exercises to deal with speech and swallowing. We run a program called PD Link. If people don't always find it easy to access going out to a support group, and so we'll match them with someone by phone or email to help them through the journey. We also have a counseling program. Many people, when they go through this disease, they will have to deal at some point with depression and anxiety issues, often even just the grief of getting diagnosed and losing various functions. So we have a counseling service, and that's available by phone. You don't have to come into the office. And they're registered counselors that will help people just work through problems that they're dealing with.
We're talking with Jean Blake. She is the CEO of Parkinson's Society, And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out more about Parkinson's and the effects on the body.